There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dare to compare. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast, and it's me, Joey P. Joe Pizzapia. With me today is Andrew Erickson, and we've got a special guest for you from PlayerProfiler.com. He's Cody Carpentier, and he is going to help us break down some of the NFL new incoming rookies to the league. He's going to give us some comps to help us understand what kind of talents we might be seeing on our fantasy teams and on our rosters, whether it be for Dynasty or Redraft in 2022. And then our good buddy Andrew Erickson is going to immediately give them a team that he wants to see them end up on. And I'm hopeful that Andrew gets as many as he possibly can right, and that way he is a very happy camper in 2022. But chances are there might be one or two he doesn't get. But nonetheless, we are going to do our best anyway to break all these players down and get some wishful thinking landing spots. But before we do, I want to remind everybody, make sure you hang out with us over fantasypros.com on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. And when you are on the Fantasy Pros YouTube channel, subscribe and then immediately go over to fantasypros.com/contest, where you can win that autographed Cam Akers helmet. Thanks to our friends at pristineauction.com. They're giving it away. They're just giving it away, a Cam Akers helmet. And all you got to do is subscribe to the YouTube channel. Again, that's youtube.com/fantasypros. Subscribe to the channel, click that little notifications bell, and then slide over to fantasypros.com/contest and fill out all that stuff with a nice screenshot. That's all you got to do. Cody, I want to welcome you to the show. It's the first time I think you and I have ever gotten to speak. For somebody who loves rookies, this has got to be like Christmas for you, right? It's like 3 or 4 months of just joy as you're trying to get all these prospect profiles done and trying to teach some of these people who, you know, maybe just play in redraft leagues, who some of these guys are. Maybe they don't watch college football, but it's kind of your job to get everybody prepped.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's Christmas, like you said. It's the best probably 3-4 months of the year, but it's also the most hectic. And it sounds backwards because a lot of people that aren't necessarily in the dynasty aspect or in the NFL draft part of football, when I go out and see friends and stuff, they're like, why are you so busy? And it's like, this is the busy time. Like during the season, it's fantasy, it's fun, all this stuff. But now it's like the real grind. And I think anyway, but it, yeah, like you said, best part of the season. It's like Christmas. Every day you uncover new prospects and finding new things, why you do like or don't like a certain guy. So it's every day headache. So
that's what I describe working with Andrew Erickson to be like, is, well, every day is a headache. I kid, Andrew. I kid. I love you. You're the best. Andrew Erickson bringing the big pod energy today. And for you, as somebody who's so busy during the year, Andrew, during, you know, in-season NFL coverage, what's it like when you have to step back from all that and start to watch all this rookie tape? Because I know you guys are so busy sometimes from an analyst point of view, you don't even have the time to really watch some of these college games. I get to indulge them hosting the college football show here on our betting pro side of things. But from your perspective too, what's it like when you kind of start unearthing some of these guys that, you know, maybe fantasy owners really should understand a little bit more about, and how exciting is that process for you?
Well, I mean, I could watch the college games, but then I would no longer have a girlfriend. So I think that that's the trade-off that I make.
Why I'm single, Andrew.
The Saturdays, man. I just can't give them up. You know, another day watching all the games, I won't be able to do it. But for me, it's, you know, it's a sprint. You know, basically when the playoffs start, I try to then get caught up. You know, obviously there's like the bigger college games going on in the playoffs. So I will watch those types of games to kind of get an idea of some of the bigger teams, but really it's just kind of playing catch up and trying to figure out, okay, like where are the top guys? Like who do I need to know about like right now? And then after I kind of do my first rundown of the top players, then I kind of go back and like, all right, like who are the guys I missed kind of like the first time around when I ranked my top running backs, my top receivers, tight ends? Okay, who did I miss out on the first time? Like, oh, like this guy I wasn't even thinking about, you know, when I first did my top five, you know, rookie rankings for running backs or wide receivers. So it's kind of an evolving process, and I do like to get some intake from others around me, you know, ones that are like Cody, who are involved in this 24/7 during the NFL season, still watching college. So using all of my resources really to try to, you know, cultivate, you know, these rankings and the best kind of information for these rookies.
Well, Cody, you've got the opportunity right now to really help out a lot of people. So I hope you're ready for it, because we're going to start with the running backs. We're going to start with Breece Hall. Everybody seems to have him as the consensus number one on the top of their board. Breece Hall comes to us from Iowa State, certainly high marks in the combine. So when you're breaking him down, give us a little bit of the profile that you have on Breece Hall and a comp, if you will, too, of who a player he might remind you of either statistically or physically talent-wise as he's heading into the NFL this year.
Well, I mean, coming in from the high school level, 6'1", 200 pounds, Breece Hall was dominant. Back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons in high school. Then he comes to Iowa State, fills in for David Montgomery where he left off. And a lot of people wanted that easy comp too. Oh, it's David Montgomery plus. He's a little faster, more athletic. I don't think so. I think he's much better. My playstyle comp while breaking this guy down was DeMarco Murray, a fellow Big 12 guy. 4.39, 40-yard dash, 117 speed score. It's 98th percentile on playerprofiler.com. Everything is technically sound with Breece Hall, from the pass catching to the rushing. I think he has the breakaway speed. Some other close comps we have on Player Profiler is Jonathan Taylor and Adrian Peterson. Matt Kelly liked to put Saquon Barkley in there as well, but Saquon Barkley, I think, is a much better pass receiver than Breece Hall is. I think Breece Hall is the second best pure rusher in this class. I think Kenneth Walker fits right up in that scheme with him. But from an overall prospect standpoint, I think Breece Hall is hands down the number one prospect in this class at the running back position. And I have that graded as such in my big board. He's 0.3 points higher than Kenneth Walker.
I feel like people kind of only remember DeMarco Murray towards the end of his career and kind of forget how good he was early on. And I think that that's a terrific comp. If we can get DeMarco Murray a 3-4 year window out of Breece Hall like that, that would certainly be wonderful. Why such a variance though? Everything from a lesser David Montgomery all the way up to a guy like Adrian Peterson or Jonathan Taylor is the 1-1. That seems like a big variance on Hall. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, the David Montgomery thing, I think people just take that, that close, you know, the school thing, right? A lot of people are like, right. Oh, well, Brian Robinson, TJ Yeldon. It's like, well, you don't always got to pick somebody from the same school just because they might fit in that same role. Breece Hall obviously fit in that same role as David Montgomery. He can do everything David Montgomery could do. I think he runs a little bit harder. I think he's just as good of a pass catcher. He's way more athletic. And I think all around, like, I wouldn't put Montgomery on that. I'm just saying that's what I've heard and seen. But for me, that's why I said DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray is a much harder runner, more of an athlete. And then I think it's a comparison to not quite on Jonathan Taylor's level, but from a stylistic standpoint and athletic standpoint, I think it's Adrian Peterson, DeMarco Murray-esque.
All right, let's move to our resident GM of all 32 NFL teams for the day, Andrew Erickson. Andrew, where are you going to put Breece Hall? What roster makes sense for him?
Well, I mean, we're getting these hot rumors that the Buffalo Bills are in on Breece Hall. So from like a fantasy perspective, that's it. Like that would be dynamite. You know, you can get rid of Singletary, get rid of Moss, you know, whatever, if they want to use Duke Johnson. But if they're going to draft him in the first round, then they're going to use him as their bell cow. And in that offense, I think that's wheels up. Like that's the spot you want in a perfect world. And the way that the Bills talk about how good their roster is, it seems like they're going to potentially spending a luxury pick on a running back. Now, I will never, ever advocate to draft a running back in the first round. I just don't think it makes a lot of sense. I'd rather than honestly just draft another wide receiver, just get another weapon for Josh Allen, draft a running back later in day two. But, you know, sometimes teams cannot help themselves and they look at how fast this guy is, how explosive he is. And they're just like, let's just take him. And that's what happened to the Chiefs. And look where they ended up. They had to trade Tyreek Hill because of the mistake that they made. So I think the Bills from a fantasy perspective is the spot. If it's not Buffalo, I would say from like the teams that just don't have any running backs that have a lot of picks on day two would be the Houston Texans. I just think that he can step in and be the immediate bell cow. Rex Burkhead is currently their starter. And you don't have to worry about, okay, if this team is losing in a lot of games, oh, what happens to Breece Hall? Oh, well, he's on the field. 82 catches over the last three seasons. Like, I'm not concerned about him, you know, being used out of the backfield. And you look at new offensive coordinator Pep Hamilton, who's coming in. The last time he was the offensive coordinator, he fed a 32-year-old Frank Gore 300 touches. Okay, so I think that he would be more than happy to give Breece Hall 300-plus touches as a rookie that they would draft, you know, with high draft capital. So Texans and Bills for me.
On the Bills side, Andrew, I mean, they are a very complete team. They're a win now team, and they finally proved the concept that if you balance out the offense like you did towards the end of the year there in the latter part with Devin Singletary, that actually is helpful for Josh Allen because they become less predictable. I think 2 years ago, they were way too predictable. Last year, they kind of found a little bit more balance to the offense. I think that was really good going forward. If he should end up with Buffalo, in your opinion, where would that put him in terms of draft stock? Because that's a very high profile team, win now team, big time offense, big time quarterback. What would you think in a redraft league he would go for in terms of draft capital?
I mean, I think that he would be a top 12 running back. I mean, you look at the way that Najee Harris was a top five running back last year because of the volume he's playing in an offense that's going to score a lot of points. And we have a sample size of the Bills using one running back in a really great role, like Devin Singletary down the stretch. Devin Singletary had like a Leonard Fournette-esque role, and Leonard Fournette was top five running back this past season, playing in a high-powered offense, catching passes out of the backfield. So people might just be hesitant because he just hasn't played in the NFL yet, and I just don't think, especially running back. Running backs, we see the first-round running backs, they just explode. So, I would say top 12 easily for me.
All right, Cody, let's go back to you. Let's go back to the scout. I love it. I got the scout. I got the GM. I got everything here. Kenneth Walker, very exciting prospect, as you mentioned, Cody, before, a pure runner, Michigan State back, had a great season, very good combine, certainly looks the part. So Kenneth Walker, who does he look like to you?
For me, this is the hardest runner in this class. I mentioned earlier, Breece Hall, number two. This is the number one, Kenneth Walker. We saw the one big season out of Michigan State, 1,600 yards. He transferred from Wake Forest back-to-back 500-yard seasons. He's coming in 5'9", 211, 21 years old. It runs extremely hard. There was just not a lot in the receiving game to pick up on film or in the statistics, but there has been these inklings of, you know, there's been tape released from Michigan State in practices where he's looked phenomenal in the receiving game. I haven't seen that, but I think I can trust it. We've seen this from Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon didn't have over 40 receptions. I think maybe like 33 in his time at Wisconsin. So I really like the prospect in Kenneth Walker. Like I said, the hardest runner. He puts in the most effort in every single play. For comparables, he runs a 4.3 at 40-yard dash. He does have a 51% burst percentile. For Melvin Gordon, Nick Chubb. I like Nick Chubb from a play style comp. From an overall athletic college output standpoint, is Melvin Gordon, but something between Nick Chubb and Melvin Gordon.
Now, I'll take that any day of the week. You give me something between those two guys or even just one of them. Very happy there. Andrew Erickson, if this guy's the second coming of Nick Chubb, where do you want to put him? What team would benefit from him immediately? You mentioned the Houston Texans in the market for a running back. Would that be a spot or is there something else you have in mind?
Yeah, I think the Texans can kind of be connected to any of these running backs because they just don't have, I mean, they're sniffing around for Marlon Mack at this point. So they're just trying to collect, guys. So a rookie running back will definitely have a path to opportunity and touches. And we know that the volume is really the driver for running back in fantasy football. So for me, I went to another direction here with the Atlanta Falcons because they don't have like a pure rusher that I care about. Like they have guys that can catch passes out of the backfield, whether it's, you know, catching dump offs. They have Cordarrelle Patterson, whether they're going to use him as a receiver, I don't know. Auden Tate is now on the Falcons, so he's taking over as wide receiver one. We have, you know, Damien Williams, you know, he's been a pass catcher. Mike Davis can catch and fall down. Like they have those guys there for pass protection or whatever to keep Marcus Mariota upright or whoever the Falcons, if they draft the quarterback. So I think that they would like to have an actual pure rusher. You know, Arthur Smith obviously was with Derrick Henry, not comparing Kenneth Walker to Derrick Henry, but you know, Derrick Henry never really was a guy that they used in the passing game, but he was still really effective as a rusher. Like, I think the Falcons just looking for a guy that we can just feed the ball 250 times. Like, this team's trying to lose games. How do you lose games? Just run the football when you're down by 30. Who cares? Just give it to Kenneth Walker. So I would like to see him, that he can get a lot of rushing attempts there. And yeah, that's what I would go with the Falcons.
So if they didn't take him in the first round, they have that very early pick, obviously not going to take a running back there. He would have to go, what, early in the second there, where I think what the Atlanta Falcons have the 11th pick, if memory serves, right? That would be where Walker would have to fall to. Do you think that's realistic that he could actually fall that far?
Into day two? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no, into round two. Yeah. I mean, round two. I mean, look, if you look ahead, you mean the Texans have the 5th pick in the second round. So the Texans could certainly take Walker if they pass on him. I could, I'd love to see him in Atlanta. I think you make a great argument for him. But do you think that he would last that long all the way to them?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where if the Texans will probably have to take Breece Hall, where they would be drafting Kenneth Walker. So if they take Breece Hall earlier, then they're obviously not going to draft two. I mean, who knows? Maybe they will draft two running backs.
The ripple effect, if Buffalo does take Hall, all of a sudden Walker moves up into that, you know, early second round.
And there's always a chance, too, that, you know, teams, we saw it last year with Javonte Williams. Like, the Broncos knew Miami was kind of like key on Javonte, so they leaped them in the second round. So there could be one of these teams that, if Falcons really want to get a running back, they have, you know, draft capital to move up, potentially, to get in front of if the Texans are honing in on Kenneth Walker.
All right, let's move to the next guy here. Isaiah Spiller is next on our list, running back from Texas A&M. So what's the player profile? What's the comp on Isaiah Spiller, Cody?
Not good. Not very good. He came in slow at the pro day, where he thought he was going to come in fast. He didn't really do a lot at the combine. When I went there and was talking to him, he was the most beta version of any running back that we saw there. It was, you know, Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker, Brian Robinson were all these hulked up dudes. They're positive. They were alpha mentalities. And then Isaiah Spiller just kind of was sitting over there in the corner, and he's like, you know, I'm not going to run. My foot hurts. My hamstring hurts. And I was like, this is not what's happening right now. And then he goes out and he jumps. I think he jumped.
It's an excellent impression, Cody. I just want to say, it's really good.
31 inch vertical. And I was like, I think I could probably do that right now. So he comes in, you know, 6'2", 217. I like that. And he looked great at Texas A&M all through the process. A very patient runner, a great pass catcher. But again, what I came away with was a Devin Singletary watching it on tape. And then from the Athletic standpoint, it was a TJ Yeldon, on the Athletic standpoint and everything like that. So TJ Yeldon, Devin Singletary, I think he's probably a little bit closer to Devin Singletary than Yeldon. But again, I did not have him ranked very highly. I have him as the number 9 overall running back prospect from the NFL standpoint. This is not fantasy. NFL standpoint, I had him as my number 9 running back prospect. But Devin Singletary, TJ Yeldon, just not something I really want to get attached to.
All right. Do you want to attach him to a team here, Andrew?
I mean, well, someone's got to do it. So I have two spots for him. And he was a tougher guy to try to figure out because, you know, again, the lack of elite speed. You know, the fact that he does like have a 3-down skill set, like he can catch passes out of the backfield. So it's not something you're concerned about. I feel like he's going to be a guy that lends on a team that already has like an established path. Like he already has an established running back there. And he could be a guy that we look to, okay, we can plug him in. He's going to start this week because the starter's hurt. Okay, like we know he's going to get the work. He'll be fine for fantasy. Like he'll get it done, whatever. But he's not necessarily a game changer. So for me, I looked at like Miami Dolphins, for example. They have Chase Edmonds in there as the, you know, premier pass catching back. Raheem Mostert, we kind of know at this point, like the guy's, I mean, he'll play 2 games, 3 games, whatever. Like maybe he'll end up playing there, but they still need some depth at the running back position, I think. And I think Spiller, again, I don't know if he fits like the scheme super well, but he is kind of a more, I think he's a good complement to all the speed that they have. You know, again, he's not like the speedy guy, but I think that the Dolphins would actually benefit from having a bigger running back that's not just all about being fast. And you look at the way that he was used at Texas A&M, the guy that he shared the backfield with, A-Chain, was a speed demon. So I think that it's actually kind of a good change of pace to have a bigger guy like Spiller work alongside Chase Edmonds and all the receivers that have a lot of speed on that offense. And the other team was the Buccaneers. So kind of looking at a potential handcuff for Leonard Fournette. I still don't know like how they feel about Keyshawn Vaughn. Like I'm so like torn about like where they stand with him. So it wouldn't surprise me to see them potentially take a running back here as well. And I think that Spiller again has a similar skill set to like Fournette.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you a story. A story about Siempre Tequila. It was founded in 2015 by Alex and Monica, who took their life savings to start making tequila. Now, it wasn't much, but they made it count. And continuing in Monica's grandmother's footsteps, they created an agave spirit that's perfect for them and I think it'll be perfect for you too. I want to tell you more about Siempre Tequila because let me tell you, honestly, it's the best I've ever had, and I've tried lots of different brands before, and I love their Reposado, especially for its stronger hints of caramel, wood, and vanilla flavors. The strong citrus flavor of their Plata also caught my attention. I'll tell you, it is terrific whether you're mixing it in margaritas or just drinking it straight. Siempre Tequila is exactly what you're looking for, and they've won multiple awards. It's perfect for spring. It's perfect for summer. It's perfect all year round, and I know you're going to enjoy it. So find them online right now at shopsiempretequila.com. That's shop, S-I-E-M-P-R-E. tequila.com and use that promo code FANTASYPROS to get 20% off of orders for $100 or more. You can also follow Siempre Tequila on Instagram at Siempre Tequila. And now back to the action. All right, let's move to a guy who, you know, might be viewed as one of the safer investments at running back coming out of Alabama, Brian Robinson Jr. Big back, can catch the football, ran a 4.5 340. Obviously played in a tremendous team. So sometimes that hurts you because they say, well, you're a product of the environment. But I mean, historically speaking, we've had some good success over the years with some of these Alabama backs in the NFL. So Cody, when you're looking at Brian Robinson, what's your evaluation and who do you compare him to?
At the beginning of the process, we're talking like September, October, when mock drafts were coming out. This was the dude in round one, the only dude, the only running back going in round one. And it was Brian Robinson. I saw a lot of Tampa Bay stuff. I was like, oh my gosh, I do not want to see that. Obviously, he's been sitting at Alabama behind Najee Harris, Bo Scarborough, Damian Harris, Josh Jacobs, the whole works, the whole nine yards. Fifth year breakout at Alabama, really. Jerome Ford leaves. He comes out. He runs a 4.53 at the combine, 85th percentile speed score. From a running standpoint, I like him. I do not love him. At the Senior Bowl, where it was like his time to shine, obviously we saw what he could do at Alabama, but at the Senior Bowl, he really struggled. He did not kind of pop off the screen. It was Damian Pierce making a play. It was Brian Robinson running into the back end of an offensive lineman and falling over. And then I think like Zaquandre White doing some stuff. But from a playstyle comp, I got Chris Carson. And then from an athletic standpoint and what he did in college, it's Gus Edwards. I think Brian Robinson in the NFL will get drafted, you know, probably early third to late third round. And he's going to land on a spot where he's going to get those 175, 200 plus touches in year one and year two because he can take it. And he's not getting the Alabama bump up that we normally see every year, but he's going to get those opportunities in year one. And yes, I think it's very ugly. Like it's not, you know, you don't want to go out and draft Gus Edwards in fantasy, but you should because of the value you're going to get. You're going to be able to get him in the start of the second round in rookie drafts. And as long as he doesn't land, as long as he doesn't end up in, you know, Tennessee, maybe Tennessee might even be bad, but somewhere like behind an alpha running back where he's not going to get that privy. If he goes anywhere where he can get 200 touches, he will take them. So yeah, that's, you know, Chris Carson, Gus Edwards, that's where I land.
All right, Andrew, you got 200 touches on a team to give away. I know the Falcons have a couple picks in the second round, so that's certainly something to consider. What other teams do you think he might end up on?
Yeah, I think the Chris Carson comp has me. I feel like Pete Carroll would just like die to have this guy on his team because he's just like, all right, baby, we can just run the ball. No matter what, this guy can take it. Rashad Penny, yeah, he looked really great at the end of last season, but we know that he has a short shelf life. Like, we don't know how long he can he shoulder the load for 10 games, 5 games? Like, we don't know, where Brian Robinson, we know, can handle the load. So the Seahawks kind of just popped in my mind. It wasn't even one that I had kind of previously down, but the way that you described it to me, Cody, I was like, man, like Pete Carroll is just getting so amped up to get Brian Robinson. Like, he's like skyrocketing up the draft board.
Yeah, he'll just do it anyways. He's like, whatever.
The other teams I had listed, in case he doesn't end up where he can be kind of like, you know, a pseudo starter, the Arizona Cardinals, James Conner is there. Again, another injury prone running back. And then also the New York Giants with Saquon Barkley. There are some ties. Brian Daboll, the new head coach of the New York Giants, obviously has ties to Alabama. So I think that if they're in the market for a backup running back, I know they signed Matt Breida, they released Devontae Booker, but I mean, Barkley has a pretty, again, like James Conner, a long injury track record. So, you know, adding some depth with a guy like Brian Robinson, who, you know, can handle the load, at least on early downs, I think is going to work. And I think he can do enough as a pass catcher. Like, I don't think he's a total zero. I don't think he's going to be like a game changer, but I think with a lot of these running backs, a lot of it is about, like, can you just catch the ball when we throw it to you? Like, you don't need to be this, like, savant route runner. You don't need to be, like, juking guys out. Just catch the ball when we throw it to you and just run like these easy routes. Like, come on, like you can do it. And I think Brian Robinson can do enough in the passing game to at least be a serviceable starter.
Speaking of catching the ball, let's talk a little James Cook, Dalvin's little brother from Georgia. National championship was there for James Cook. Very electric sort of player. He has speed. We know that he can catch the football. So Cody, in this new era of the NFL where the smaller guys sometimes have a lot more success than maybe they would have a few years ago, what do you profile James Cook like in this modern day NFL?
So coming in, obviously the play style is nothing else than what you would expect. You would expect him to run like his older brother, Dalvin. And that's exactly how he does run from a play style standpoint. The only difference is he does a little bit more in the passing game. He's probably the best, in my opinion, pass catcher, route runner from the running back position in this class. He came in very light in comparison to Dalvin, 199 pounds. He played with Zamir White, who was the alpha in the running game. James kind of controlled the passing game, and he did get the run opportunities. But the NFL loves James Cook a lot more than I think the media does, or Dynasty Twitter. 5'11", 199 pounds. He came in and ran a 4.42 at the combine. From a comparable standpoint, it's Andre Ellington. It's a slighter version of his little brother. Andre Ellington, I think, fits very well in this James Cook. You can also look at like a Justice Hill. Remember him from Oklahoma State? Sure. But I really like what James Cook brings to the table. Pairing and just what these Georgia guys do every single year is, you know, oh, well, he didn't get all the workload. Yeah, but he didn't have to, because that's what Georgia does. They bring these guys in and they're like, hey, you're going to go to the NFL in a couple seasons. Just work with Zamir and do what you need to do. And now look where they're at. They're both going to enter the NFL, probably both round three, round four prospects. James Cook, Andre Ellington. I like that.
All right. So James Cook, who needs a pass catching running back in your opinion, Andrew, in the NFL?
Kansas City Chiefs, because they don't have one on their roster currently. You know,
you mean it's not Ronald Jones? I'm hearing all these Ronald Jones things. I mean, it's not featured back.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the whole argument about Ronald Jones versus CH is going to be like neither of them. Like, that's literally going to be the answer to the question that we're going back and forth, because they're going to add another guy, and then that guy's going to be better than both those guys on the roster. Like, I tweeted something out defending, you know, CH, saying, okay, like, you know, they added Ronald Jones. Honestly, it's probably the best case scenario for him. He can't catch passes, so maybe this gives CH an opportunity. And then someone told me that I was like a CH truther. I was like, guys, like, I have him like outside my top 30 running backs. Like, I'm not like high on him at all. It's just being stating facts, and it's probably going to change, because I do think that one of these Georgia backs, I think that the Chiefs should add, honestly, whether it's James Cook or Zamir White. I think that both of these guys could fit into the Chiefs offense really well. They just still hadn't added that extra factor of using a running back in the passing game. And when we saw it last year, it was Darrell Williams doing that. It was Jarek McKinnon doing that. And then when those guys were in those roles, it was really great for fantasy. Like, we weren't worried about like these rushing inefficiencies. It was really nice to see. And the Chiefs, if they're going to change their identity a little bit on offense, because they don't have Tyreek Hill anymore. Like, I expect them to use more running backs in the passing game, because if you do it the right way, it's a really easy way to get yards. So I think that James Cook makes a lot of sense for the Chiefs, and the same thing with Zamir White, as we'll get into him as well.
Well, let's get into him right now. Zamir White is the next guy up on our list here. The other running back from Georgia we were talking about. So let's get the other Georgia boys all set up here. Cody, who do you think Zamir White reminds you of?
They nicknamed him Zeus for a reason. He came in borderline five-star prospect out of high school, and when he was healthy, he dominated. He has suffered a couple ACL injuries, and finally, there was rumor at the combine that this dude was finally healthy after four long years of just injury after injury and recovering and getting there. But again, he comes in and kind of jumps into that range where everyone thought, you know, Kevin Harris might be able to jump up there, Brian Robinson might be able to jump up there, and now it's Zamir White in that top five discussion from the running back position. He runs a 4.40 at 214 pounds at the NFL Combine. Absolutely electric. Not a lot of people saw that one coming. From a play style comp, I have Josh Jacobs, and then from a athletic and what he did in college stance, it's Damian Williams, it's Damian Harris. That's kind of where it lands, because he's not really that great of a pass catcher. I think he can do it, but he's just not going to be used that way. He's going to be used as a two down back, kind of like an Elijah Mitchell type, I guess. But I like the Josh Jacobs, Damian Williams area.
All right. So are we going to put him on San Francisco here, Andrew?
I mean, that sounds like a pretty decent spot. The 49ers offense, it's one of those things where, you know, Elijah Mitchell obviously burst out last year as a sixth round pick. Trey Sermon did not work out for the 49ers, but they're always adding backs. And, you know, if you look just at the track record of where you draft the 49ers running backs versus how they end up finishing the season, it's the guy you draft last is always the guy that's the guy that you wanted in the first place. So whoever you draft first from the 49ers offense, the backfield, unless you go all the way back to the Carlos Hyde days, like he was the last Kyle Shanahan running back that you drafted him first. And he actually was the best running back in terms of fantasy at the end of the year. Like every other running back is like, oh, you drafted Jeff Wilson, you should have drafted this guy instead. Oh, you drafted Raheem Mostert, you should have drafted Jeff Wilson instead last year. Oh, you drafted Trey Sermon. Oh, you should have drafted Elijah Mitchell instead. So yeah, count me in on any 49ers running back that goes there. I know that Mitchell is the entrenched starter as it is right now, but he's an undersized back that got banged up last year. And there's no reason to think that he's not going to, the way that they just use those running backs is they don't care. Like Shanahan doesn't care about the health of his running backs. He's just going to like, go do it, go earn your yardage. And if you go out, then I'm going to replace you with somebody else. So I think that, yeah, the 49ers are a good spot for Zamir White.
All right, let's go from Zamir White to Rashad White, Arizona State. Cody, let's get a comp for Rashad White. Who does he remind you of you think he might profile like in the NFL?
I love Rashad White. I've had him RB3 through the whole process. I kind of had him and Spiller tied right there at that three spot. And really what pushed me over was just having those conversations with Nate List. I was like, man, the only thing is – Rashad White's 23 years old already, and Spiller's 20. I love the entire prospect of Rashad White over Isaiah Spiller. Coming in, he had 1,400 yards total at college. He had 1,000 this last season in 10 games. He averaged, I believe it was like 9 or 10 yards per carry. He's 214 pounds, 6 foot tall, but again, 23 years old. He runs a 4.4 840 yard dash, which was a positive on his overall profile. People thought he was going to come in and run the low 4.5s. He came in 97th percentile burst score, 84th percentile speed score. We'd love to see it from a play style standpoint. It's been Le'Veon Bell since day one. It's an upright playing style, fantastic pass catcher, 43 receptions this last season. I love the Le'Veon Bell standpoint, but coming out of Michigan State, he was also in that 230-pound range, whereas White comes in at 214. We have David Johnson on playerprofiler.com, and then some of their close ones are Devontae Booker. But I still think Le'Veon Bell is the best comp for Rashad White. Even if it's a poor man's Le'Veon Bell, I think the patience is what's really going to pay off for Rashad White.
Well, the patient running style, Le'Veon Bell had a lot of success in Pittsburgh. Where could Rashad White's patient running style have success in the NFL, Andrew?
See, now, if I was the Buffalo Bills, this is where I would invest my running back this draft capital, not necessarily in the first round, because you're not going to have to draft Rashad White in the first round. I don't even know where he's going to go in the draft, but the Bills have been pretty prominent about adding a dynamic receiving threat out of the backfield. You know, they wanted to sign Jaden McKissick. They had him in the building, and then he went back to Washington to ruin our Antonio Gibson dreams. Thanks a lot, Jaden McKissick. But the Bills, then they end up signing Duke Johnson. So I get, you know, Duke Johnson is a very polarizing player, you know, the Hughes leading rusher, you know, great missed tackles force. But I think Rashad White just fits in so well with what this Bills offense can do and take the next step. And it's a cost-effective way to get what you're looking for. Like you're looking for a pass catching running back. Here you go. Like this is the guy that you want. One of the best in the class, 16% targets. You're absolutely bonkers for a running back at the college level. You know, basically first in the class in all of the receiving metrics. So I think it makes a lot of sense for the Bills to be smart with their capital. Draft a receiver in the first round. Like if that's your luxury pick, that's what you should do. And then just add this running back a little bit later on. So Rashad White to the Bills.
All right, maybe he's their second round guy. We'll certainly see about that. Let's do one more running back before we switch gears to wide receiver. Let's talk about Damian Pierce. So when you're looking at Pierce, the body of work that you've seen out of him from Florida, what does it remind you of, Cody?
5'10", 218 pounds. He didn't really do a lot at Florida, but again, we saw that from Kadarius Toney last year when he came out. There was just not a lot on the table to look at. Damian Pierce on tape is not a fun one to watch from a stylistic standpoint because he's really pigeon-toed and he just didn't really have much output. But you have to use your visuals here, your imagination, I should say, and think about Marshawn Lynch, his play style, his personality mixed in with a DJ Dallas from Seattle. Just kind of that mixture, meeting him at the Senior Bowl, everything was electric when he was in the building. He was in the house talking to him. And then when he's out on the field, like I said, it was him and Brian Robinson and Zaquandre White in the same backfield. And Pierce was the one making the plays. He had the biggest week down in Mobile. Then we go to the combine, and he didn't disappoint. He, you know, he's a 60th percentile athlete overall. He runs a 4.59. That's kind of yucky. But again, DJ Dallas with Marshawn Lynch's personality and aggression is a very good spot for Damian Pierce to be as like a fifth round NFL dart throw.
All right, so let's throw a dart here, Andrew. Who might take a shot on this guy late in the NFL draft?
Yeah, I think that some of the obvious names, so like Seattle and the Falcons, if they're just looking for a running back, again, you're just looking for opportunity. I think that Pierce could definitely carve out a role, you know, as an early down guy on either of those rosters. And then from like a realistic standpoint, I honestly thought that the Jets were a pretty good spot for him in terms of being a complement to Michael Carter. I don't think that they have exactly the same skill set. So I think that, I mean, anything to get Tevin Coleman like off the field is just, it was a win, you know, in any way, shape or form. And as much as, you know, Ty Johnson gets me excited as much as the next guy is just like, come on, like, let's get these legitimate backs on the field. Robert Saleh obviously has experience with Damian Pierce, you know, being one of the coaches at the Senior Bowl. So he's seen him up close in person. And, you know, he's also talked, or Saleh has talked about having, you know, another running back, having a 1-2 punch with Michael Carter. Cody, I don't mean to, you know, dismay Michael. I know you're a big Michael Carter guy, but I do think, do you think that the Jets will end up actually adding a running back in your opinion?
I do think they add one, and Pierce is one of the guys that I've linked to them. But again, like you just said, I'm a big fan, and I know Joe Douglas is because I asked him at the combine. I said, you know, what's the kind of angle on Michael Carter right now? Are you guys still in on him? Are you going to bring somebody in? And he's like, we love young MC. And as soon as he said, we love young MC, I'm done. I'm still there. I'm pushing him up the rankings. But yeah, no, I love Michael Carter from the overall standpoint. But I do think they bring in a grinder like a Damian Pierce or something like that.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Air Medcare Network. Now, we've talked about Air Medcare Network before. In a medical emergency, AMCN can get you to a hospital fast. And since there are no out-of-pocket expenses for anyone in your household when flown by an AMCN provider, your finances are protected too. AMCN is a brilliant play, and here's your next call. Complete your coverage by adding Fly You Home to your membership. Here's how Fly You Home works. Imagine you're hospitalized far away from home. Who wants to be in a strange place with strangers taking care of you? Nobody. With Fly You Home, you can make the call to be transported back to your local hospital, closer to your own doctor and family. Fly You Home takes care of absolutely everything from hospital A to hospital B. No bills, no paperwork. It's a smart way to reduce stress and put control back to you in your care, in your hands. Here's how you do it. You go over for Fantasy Pros listeners, sign up for Fly You Home today and receive up to $100 e-gift card. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/pros and use the offer code PROS, AMCN, and Fly You Home. It's a lineup that can't be beat. And now, back to the action. All right, let's take a look at the wide receiver class here. Certainly, that's the thing that's getting everybody excited in Dynasty and in redraft leagues. It's a very talented group, and we'll start here with Treylon Burks. Let's get a comp for the Arkansas wide receiver. Who do you have, Cody?
I don't really get to say a lot about Treylon Burks. He's been the topic of a lot of conversation on the Twitters over the last few months. Everyone's seen those big plays he's made in SEC against Alabama, against Georgia, against everybody. But he did come in. He ran a 4.55 at the NFL Combine, which is still an 87th percentile speed score at 225 pounds. He did not have 5XL gloves. He did not have actual 10-inch hands, which was a disappointment. But 46th percentile dominator rating. I had a Deebo Samuel play style. Everyone's seen that. Everyone kind of knows that. It's kind of how they used him at Arkansas and how I think he will continue to be used if he's in a creative offense, depending on where Andrew puts him. But from an athletic standpoint, it's Jordy Nelson. It's Jordy Nelson. Mm. And I think they can, I mean, just imagine Jordy Nelson doing things that Deebo can do and being able to stretch the field and being able to be a red zone target. Like, I think he's going to have a lot of things. There is some yucky ones on here. You know, N'Keal Harry, Kenny Golladay are in his top five close comparables, but I think number one is Jordy Nelson with the Deebo Samuel style.
All right. Andrew Erickson, the Packers certainly could use a wide receiver. You think they take a look at Burks?
Yeah, I think that the Burks makes a lot of sense. I'll be interested to see where he ends up going. I know that the rhetoric with him is more or less been more negative than positive, I think, in recent weeks. So to see him, I didn't think he was going to go outside the top 20 earlier on, but now it seems like that's potentially in the card. So I think the Packers make sense. The other teams that I actually liked were the Eagles and the Chiefs. So you look at the Eagles, they pride themselves a lot of yak. Like, that's where they were most successful last year with their head coach, Nick Sirianni. They used a lot of yards after the catch. You know, it's one of the things I linked to them wanting to draft Devontae Smith last year. Devontae Smith was really good after the catch, really good with screens, you know, at Alabama. And that's why I picked, you know, in all my mock drafts, I was like, all right, Eagles, Devontae Smith, like, that's who they're going to go after. And that's who they ended up drafting. So Treylon Burks, you know, again, 14th out of 169 qualifying wide receivers over the past two seasons in yards after the catch per reception, 77% of his career in the slot. So you have Devontae Smith on the outside, They're going to keep Quez Watkins. Don't worry. Don't worry, Cody. We're going to keep Quez Watkins. Jalen Reagor, be gone. He's the one that gets the boot. He's done. We'll put Treylon Burks in the middle for Jalen Hurts. Take a next step. Eagles were second in screen pass rate last year. And then with the Chiefs, they were first in yards after the catch. Like, I know that a lot of people talk about how Tyreek Hill was this deep threat, but they didn't really use him that much in that role last year. And I think that's kind of why they figured, hey, there's a lot of guys that are great after the catch in this draft class. Let's take advantage of that. That's how you beat the cover too. Is you're attacking underneath with these guys that can make plays with the ball in their hands. Treylon Burks, get him going. So him to the Chiefs, man, that'd be great.
All right, let's talk about the boys from Ohio State, fellas. Garrett Wilson, I know it's one of Andrew's favorites. Chris Olave, both these guys coming off terrific seasons. Buzz of the combine for sure. Two wonderful prospects. So break these two guys down for us, Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, Cody.
I mean, Garrett Wilson overall came in and surprised people thinking he was only going to run the 4.5s. He comes in a little bit light. He comes in, runs a 4.3 at 40-yard dash at the NFL Combine, over 2,200 career receiving yards. I have him closest comparable in a play style to what you just mentioned, Devonta Smith from Alabama. From the speed and from the athletic standpoint, it's Jerry Jeudy. And I think a mixture of those guys, they're pretty much the same guy. And you bring a Garrett Wilson in here. When I was talking about Olave and Wilson to my buddy Alex Dunlap from Roster Watch, I said, you know, you remember how Landry was when he came out of LSU? It was Landry and it was Odell Beckham. Mm-hmm. From a mindset standpoint, it was, you know, Odell Beckham is this alpha. He has the superstar qualities where Landry kind of is just kind of like the guy that gets it done on every single snap. I think Wilson comes in with that Odell superstar mentality, superstar talent, and has the ability to be a guy that ends up on the Jefferson, the Chase level, has the opportunities, not the comp, but again, and then I think Olave is on that Landry spectrum where he's going to come in and he's going to garner, you know, 120, 130, 140 targets from day one. I actually have Chris Olave as my top rated prospect at the receiver position with a Stephon Diggs comp. So like you said, Stephon Diggs and like a Jerry Jeudy, Devonta Smith type. I mean, these guys are fantastic. It's hard not to be impressed with these two guys. And then thinking like, you know, why did Jameson Williams leave? Well, I'll tell you why he left. You know, and then you got the guy coming out next year, Jackson Smith and Jigba, like they're loaded. So again, Stephon Diggs, Jerry Jeudy. I think that's kind of where I land on both guys.
All right. Those are some big names right there that you're dropping. So pick them up and put these guys somewhere. Andrew Erickson, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson. Where do you want to put them?
I really want to see somebody land on the Houston Texans because I think that that's an opportunity where you have a receiver. So Brandon Cooks is there, but he's been rumored to be in trade talks that they can move on from. Mm-hmm. And then besides him, there's Brevin Jordan, tight end, Nico Collins, the guy they drafted last year. But I think that specifically with Garrett Wilson, I think that his skill set's way different than both of those other players like Cooks and Nico Collins. Nico Collins is a clasher on the outside, you know, a contested catch receiver. You have Brandon Cooks as the field stretcher where Garrett Wilson can kind of work the middle of the field and just kind of do everything. And Davis Mills is underrated. Like, I don't think that he's some trash quarterback. I think that especially an offense that should throw the ball a lot, I think a rookie wide receiver, especially one in the first round, because the Texans have two first round picks. If they end up taking one, I believe at 13, like that's going to be prime. Like I like that spot a lot. I don't know if they ultimately go that way because they just, again, rebuilding teams. I'm not so sure I love the fit of a receiver, but you know, when you have two first round picks, like you can afford to do things a little off script. So drafting a receiver again, you know, Houston Texans, we used to have Andre Johnson, we had DeAndre Hopkins. Like let's get another guy in there, you know, establish kind of that next tier of, you know, great Houston Texans wide receivers. So I think Garrett Wilson or Chris Olave to the Texans would make a lot of sense. And then with Olave, who again projects a little bit to go a little bit later in the most of the mock drafts, I thought that, you know, the Packers or the Saints, I think that both have quarterbacks that can take advantage of Olave as like an elite separator downfield. I know, again, pairing him with Michael Thomas, I just think would be really exciting to watch. Again, there's a lot of opportunity for targets in the Saints office and obviously Green Bay. It's like, look, if you get a guy that can get open, like Aaron Rodgers is going to find you. So I think Green Bay makes a lot of sense too.
All right, let's see if we can find a comp for Drake London. This is one of our colleague Derek Brown's favorite guys here from USC. So who does Drake London compare to in your mind, Cody, when you're watching him play?
So we don't have a lot of athletic stuff to kind of go off of. We have a couple of high school metrics, but you can't really take those for much. He did come in 6'4", 219 pounds, 33-inch arms, which is 81st percentile, and he's 20 years old. At the combine, he looked a little svelte. He was not jacked by any means. He was not on the DK Metcalf spectrum. But overall, as a prospect, 2,100 yards receiving, 35 percentile dominator rating. I think Drake London is going to be a fantastic pro. He's a great separator in the middle of the field. He can play from the slots, and he can make almost every single catch. Marquez Colston, Michael Thomas, two Saints. You just talked about the Saints. Marquez Colston, Michael Thomas in that range. The only reason Michael Thomas think pops up was for a play style comp, because he can dominate in the slot in the middle of the field. So, you know, something in between there.
If we're looking for a slot receiver, what team makes the most sense, Andrew?
For me, I mean, I still like the New York Jets as a decent spot for Drake London. I think that it fits well into Zach Wilson's big arm. He can connect with some of these guys. And Zach Wilson's not afraid to like lock on to, you know, a certain big body receiver. I mean, Corey Davis last year was getting so much steam because, you know, Zach Wilson basically dropped back and threw it to Corey Davis on every single one of his plays during the preseason. And you saw Corey Davis's ADP like jump like 50 spots. So clearly it's in Zach Wilson's DNA to kind of lock on to one of his bigger targets. So I think he makes a lot of sense. Something interesting I kind of found when they were looking at, you know, if the Jets would kind of pinpoint on to, you know, why did the Jets like Elijah Moore? And one of the things that kind of stood out to me about Elijah Moore, besides the fact that, you know, he was just really productive at Ole Miss, was 73% contested catch rate coming out of Ole Miss was number one in last year's class. London 68%, number one in this year's class. So having a guy that can go up and get the ball, I know contested catch receivers are kind of like a dying breed, but I don't think that Drake London is like, that's all he is. Like, I think that he can do that plus do a lot of other things, like kind of Cody mentioned before.
All right, let's see what Jameson Williams can do. Obviously coming off the ACL injury, not a great situation for him. Hurt his draft stock probably just a tad, but phenomenal season in Alabama nonetheless. So when you're watching Jameson Williams, Cody, who does he remind you of?
I mean, you're talking about speed that you just cannot teach. Big play threat, mm-hmm. chain mover, used in jet motions, used all over the field, you know, at all times. And we talked about before, he left Ohio State where Olave and Garrett Wilson dominated, and he came to Alabama and fit right in that Kelvin Ridley and that Devonta Smith role. Mm-hmm. Now, those guys are in his top five close comparables on Player Profiler, but my play style comp was DeSean Jackson. I think from an overall standpoint, like, DeSean Jackson is used, you know, around the line of scrimmage, in the slot, you know, in bubble screens and stuff, but he's mainly known for that deep stretch. And I don't know how exactly Jameson's going to come back from this injury. At the combine, he walked with no hitch in his gait. He looked great 6 weeks post-op, said he was running in the pool already. So I'm fairly confident he's going to be back at some point during camp. Will he be ready for week one? I'm not sure. But I sit in the DeSean Jackson area from a style comp. And I think Kelvin Ridley and Devonta Smith, that role that he played at Alabama, I think really fits into how his career can be molded. But I'm not ready to say that that's kind of what he's going to be. I'd rather stick with the DeSean Jackson.
Andrew, who's going to take a shot here on Jameson Williams off this injury, in your opinion?
I know that in all the mocks that we've done on the podcast, I've mocked him to the Los Angeles Chargers because I think that he
every
just fits
single mock.
I know that they probably should draft a right tackle because Storm Norton is absolutely atrocious, but I just can't resist like adding a guy with Jameson Williams' speed with Justin Herbert's arm and to get Jalen Guyton off the field. I mean, I just think that it would be, and I think that it works because the Chargers have other depth at wide receiver. They have Josh Palmer. They have Jalen Guyton. They don't need to hurry Jameson Williams back if he's not ready, you know, for week one or week four. You know, the Chargers are going to be in it till the end of the season. You know, they're going to be in the playoff hunt, and that's when you want him. And I'm looking at like best ball rankings too, or ADP. Jameson Williams is behind all these other first round wide receivers when it's like, guys, like he's going to be healthy during the fantasy playoffs, like during the best ball playoffs. And this is the guy that's going to be the guy that puts up those monster games. So Jameson Williams, I think, to the Chargers. And then the other one is the Green Bay Packers. I know Green Bay has been linked to Will Fuller in the past. I know that a lot of people have comped Jameson Williams to Will Fuller, just kind of as this explosive, deep vertical threat. They just got rid of MVS or lost MVS in free agency. They obviously have a receiver knee without Devontae Adams. So, I mean, Jameson Williams, another guy that can just take the top off the ball. Packers were third in yards after the catch. They like getting the ball to their receivers behind the line of scrimmage. And Jameson Williams not only can take the ball deep, but he can also make plays with the ball in his hands after the catch. So I think that him going to the Packers, especially because, you know, they just don't like to invest in receivers anyway. He won't even be playing for the first month. They won't even miss a beat. You know, get Jameson Williams in there so they can get over the hump. Come on, Green Bay.
Come on, Green Bay. Let's talk about George Pickens from Georgia, who I don't think that we've really seen the best of yet. I think we're just kind of scratching the surface of the talent. Cody, what are your thoughts on Pickens in terms of the profile you look at and what he reminds you of in terms of a player comp?
Dog. dog, period. Yeah,
like that, I love this guy.
He's a dog. Like, he played for Georgia. He's a dog. He will be a dog. I love every part of him. 73rd percentile, 40-yard dash. Again, 4.47, and there were still rumors that he might not be 100%. And talking to this guy at the combine, I was like, you know, who do you model your game after? He said, Devontae Adams, but I'm bigger than Devontae Adams. I said, what you going to run? He's like, 4.3, 4.4. I just want to prove I'm fast. He comes in, he runs that 4.47. Still, I guess, injured is what they say. But from a play style standpoint, AJ Green, Marvin Jones, I like the AJ Green 100%. I just really want to see this guy healthy. Like you said, 96th percentile breakout age, 18.5 years old. This is up in that upper echelon of guys. And still, 85th percentile college yards per reception, 19th percentile college dominator, and he didn't like he played as a freshman, and then he's been hurt the last 2 years. So I really like George Pickens. I think you're going to get great value from George Pickens in all the rookie drafts. AJ Green's the comp.
Couldn't agree more. I love Pickens. I have got him in my top four, and I just think that, like I said, you didn't see a lot of him in Georgia because they were just dominating everybody. But when you saw those games with Alabama, when they actually got challenged a little bit, you saw the talent of Pickens. That changed the narrative quite a bit, and people started to really have their eyes open. So Andrew Erickson, who's going to get the steal of the draft here potentially with George Pickens?
Yeah, man, George Pickens is so good. I remember when I was trying to come up with a comp for them, I was like, man, like this guy's just like,
well, Adams
so good.
Fits for me. Like when you said, when Cody said Adams, that's what I was like. Yeah, he's kind of an Adams feel kind of guy in terms of style of play, you know, and as he from his own mouth, right? He said, hey, but I'm bigger. Yeah, so that's a terrifying thought process. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought that he looked a lot like AJ Green too. And I was like, oh man, like I'm gonna get dogged for the Georgia comp because it's another guy that went to Georgia. I know Cody mentioned earlier in the show. He's like, yeah, but it's like that's sometimes it is what it is. It's like, you know, that's what he kind of reminds you of. So I think that Pickens going to Green Bay, again, the obviously connection, a guy that models his game after Devontae Adams would probably fit well with a certain quarterback that's thrown the ball to Devontae Adams, especially in the red zone a lot over the past several years. So I think that at the end of the first round, it's kind of where George Pickens is being mocked in most mock drafts. Like that's where Green Bay has multiple shots to take a wide receiver. So I think that he makes a lot of sense there. And then if he does end up falling into day two, I think that the Detroit Lions are definitely in play for him. It's a relatively weak depth chart. Obviously you have Amon-Ra St. Brown there coming in from last year. They brought in DJ Chark on a 1 year deal. They re-signed Josh Reynolds, but I mean, dude, DJ Chark is not a true alpha wide receiver, in my opinion. I think that Pickens would come in there, complement Amon-Ra St. Brown really, really well. And I mean, the way that, you know, just watching Pickens, remember like a lot of his plays, I remember just like the guy is like destroying cornerbacks on the ground, like in the run game. Like he's just like blowing past dudes. And I feel like Dan Campbell's going to watch it and be like, I need that guy on my team. Like I need a receiver that's just ready to blow cornerbacks to the ground on run plays where he's not even involved in the play. So, and I think it's a good spot for fantasy as well.
All right, let's do one more here. Wide receiver, John Dotson from Penn State. Dotson's stock varies depending on who you talk to, Cody. I want to talk to you about him though. Who does he remind you of?
It's a tough one because, you know, going into the Senior Bowl, I was like, this guy's going to dominate. I can't wait to see him in Mobile. He's going to dominate everybody. The class was not strong down there. Again, it was like Christian Watson, Jalen Tolbert, Jahan Dotson comes down there. I think he showed up and then he left. There was rumors he was going to be shorter than what he is. And then there was rumors that, you know, his draft stock is going to fall because he didn't play. And that's not what went through my brain. My brain went to, all right, well, he knows he's better than everybody here. And he's not competing. So someone told him, hey, you're getting first round draft capital. I think that's a given of why he didn't compete. Then we heard there was going to be a 4.3 40-yard dash at the combine. He runs a 4.43. Still impressive, but only a 36th percentile speed score at 178 pounds. 44.4% dominator rating at Penn State with over 2,700 receiving yards. I think he's a low-key red zone weapon, and I think that you can use him in that Tyler Lockett role well. I think he also has a Marquise Hollywood Brown vibe to him as well, but I still think sticking with the Tyler Lockett comp is my best and favorite right now.
I like the Lockett comp. That's actually really good. He reminds me of him. Well done, Cody. How about you, Andrew? Where are you going to put the next potential Tyler Lockett?
I think that the best spot for him is the Colts. I think that they still desperately need another guy opposite Michael Pittman, whether they like want to use Dotson in the slot. Again, you know, that's where Tyler Lockett's had a lot of his success. I think that, you know, Paris Campbell, you know, it's weird because Paris Campbell, we kind of pegged as a slot guy as well. But, you know, when he did play last year, when he was healthy, they were actually using on the outside. So I don't know if they kind of view him as another guy they want to put on the outside. He's had trouble staying healthy the last couple of years. And the Colts are in a win now mode like they are every year. They grab their veteran quarterback and they're like, all right, this is who we're going to run with. Let's go. Matt Ryan. You saw Matt Ryan obviously have success with a guy like Russell Gage last year, someone he peppered the target with the slots with targets. So I think Dotson, you know, if he ended up on the Colts, I don't think that people would be, oh man, this is a great landing spot. But I think at the end of the year, it'd be like, wow, like Dotson was really, really productive as on the Colts. So I think that that's a solid spot for him.
Gentlemen, let's move on to the quarterbacks. Malik Willis pro day last week was certainly fun. The arm is a cannon. You could use his legs too. There's a lot to like. I always say, Cody, you know, like when I used to watch Josh Allen play, it's like you can't teach some of the things that Josh Allen could do. It's how I feel about Malik Willis. When you're watching him, what's the comp you want to put on him? And I guess the other question is how much more development does he have before he becomes somebody you can count on as an NFL-style quarterback?
About a year ago, I made a few tweets, maybe a little bit more than a year ago, when he's playing like Virginia Tech, I think in 2020. I was like, this dude's he's a dude. And I compared him to a Tyrod Taylor because I think he needed 2 years of work still. He came back in 2021. He improved vastly. And I still thought, you know, oh, he still needs a little bit of time. Coming through this whole process, I've seen him at the Senior Bowl. I saw him at the Combine, and I went to his pro day. I've seen him live at all three spots, and he's improved at each step of the way. Being at that pro day and being on field level and just seeing that arm talent and that arm strength, the talent obviously is not on your Mahomes, Rodgers level, but the strength is. The strength coming out of his arm is uncanny in this class, I think, in comparison. I think Matt Corral has a good rip, but I think Malik Willis is the strongest arm in this class. From a running quarterback standpoint, I thought he was a lot closer than a Mariota than he was like a Griffin or a Lamar that I think some people have had the conversations about. But from an overall quarterback standpoint, I put the stamp right on Justin Fields coming out of the Ohio State room. From an arm talent, from overall, like what's he going to bring to your table? He's not on Justin Fields' level, but I think we saw Justin Fields struggle last year. So I think you're going to get those struggles from Malik, but the running is going to be able to save a lot of that time.
All right, Andrew Erickson, who can take on a talent and has the luxury of time to groom him?
I like the Seahawks. I think that Seattle is in a position where they can take him in the top 10 with the 9th overall pick, potentially, or they have to move up if, you know, depending on what the Lions do. But look, he's got a big arm. We talked about it. Okay, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, two guys that just catch bombs all day. And you have a quarterback that's mobile. Okay. You know, mimics that of a younger Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson used to run a lot more when he was first in the league. And, you know, the Seahawks could just run the ball. Malik Willis has gotten comped to more like a running back, like just running more like a running back style as opposed to running like a mobile quarterback. So, you know, the Seattle could just run the ball 50 times a game with their quarterback, with their new running back, with, you know, Brian Robinson in the backfield. It'd be great. Pete Carroll will just be ecstatic with how much they can run the ball with Malik Willis. And I think that's great for fantasy. And also, you know, because they have Drew Lock, they can, you know, quote unquote, make Malik Willis earned the starting job, you know, however they want to do. I know Pete Carroll does some weird things with that, but I think Willis to the Seahawks is probably my favorite spot for him for fantasy.
Pete Carroll, weird things. That's crazy, Andrew. I don't know what you're talking about. Let's talk a little bit about Kenny Baby Hands Pickett for a second here. Cody, a lot of people dub him maybe the safest quarterback in this class, maybe the most ready, but that's also what they said about Josh Rosen. That did not work out very well a few years ago. So let's take that consensus and throw it out the window. Tell me about Kenny Pickett. Where do you think in terms of player comp he lands for you as a quarterback?
That Rosen comment just kind of scared me.
Did it hurt you? Did it hurt you in your soul a little bit? I remember it well. And I remember when people yelled at me when I said, I'd rather have Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen any day of the week. And when you're nuts, that guy's so polished. I was like, he polished all he want. I don't see him having any sort of impact the way those two dudes might have in the NFL. So, but we're talking about Kenny Pickett here. Let's talk about him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was a lot of mental stuff, but I think Kenny Pickett has the mentals. I think Kenny Pickett will be there and he will have the opportunity to start year one. Good thrower on the run. I think he can all quadrants. Obviously, of course we know he can run. He changed the rules in college football because of it. But again, like you said, massive, tiny first percentile hands. Nobody in player profile has smaller hands than Kenny Pickett. The guys that are in that range, that Ryan Tannehill, Derek Carr. I think Tannehill fits really what he plays. He's not going to be a gunslinger like a Derek Carr is downfield. But I think a Ryan Tannehill, Andy Dalton mixture is kind of what you're looking at in a Kenny Pickett with a 4.73 wheels, 84th percentile burst, and 75th percentile speed score from Kenny Pickett. Again, prototypical quarterback with legs. Ryan Tannehill, he's not special, but you know, he gets the job done.
All right. So who's going to get the job done for in the NFL, Andrew?
I was torn here because, you know, I think that Carolina makes a lot, because Carolina like has to win now, or like Matt Rule is like screwed.
They got
to
get some kind of quarterback, don't they? I keep looking around waiting for them and say, Carolina, it's your move.
And the thing I'm concerned about with that is because of the fact that if they do take Kenny Pickett, then they can't draft a tackle, which is like the biggest other thing that they need just so badly. They need a lot, like, and the Carolina Panthers roster, you know, I was looking at, it's like up and down the roster, you're like, okay, like this is a really good team. Like, why didn't they draft a quarterback last year? It's so egregious how good the roster is and how it's just suffering because they've tried to get the veteran quarterback. They've tried to follow the route that obviously Denver ended up getting, but you know, they're the one that's kind of left holding the bag, being like, well, we don't have a quarterback. And clearly that, you know, Baker Mayfield doesn't seem like he's going to want to end up going there. They are disinterested in each other. So it seems like Pickett is kind of like the last hope for Matt Rule, and or else he's not going to be there anymore. So I think that makes sense. And the other team I mentioned as well, I think Pickett could actually potentially have more success because I think they have an underrated offensive line, is Washington. I know they brought in Wentz, but look, we've seen this before with Carson Wentz. He goes somewhere, underwhelms, backup comes in and just lights it up. So, you know, I think that Kenny Pickett would actually be something that you could look at Washington. They could take a step forward with him as their quarterback if they end up taking him with the 11th overall pick.
All right, let's talk about Matt Corral out of Mississippi. Obviously, the injury there in the bowl game that you never like to see, but pro day last week, seems to be kind of working his way through everything, starting to get the feel back for throwing the football and his legs under him, so to speak. So who does Matt Corral remind you of, Cody?
Yeah, Matt Corral's not a guy I'm as high on as everybody else. I have him as my fifth quarterback overall from an NFL prospect standpoint. Going through the process, the injury thing kind of spits right out at you is like exactly what he is. He's light. He's coming in under 210 pounds, and he's not great when a play breaks down and he goes to take off. There's not a lot of like evasiveness there. There's not a lot of Pickett or Willis Ritter in his rush game. He's running into players. He's getting hit where you don't want to get hit. My play style comp is Zach Wilson from last year's class. I think his arm talent is on a higher level than Zach Wilson's, but I think from an overall prospect standpoint, I think Zach Wilson's a lot closer than a lot of people want to accept. Over 8,000 passing yards at Ole Miss, very prolific in that offense, but I don't know how great it translates to the NFL. And I don't know how great his play style translates to the NFL. Great arm. Don't get me wrong, but I just don't know how great it translates.
All right. Andrew, who has the best chance of getting something out of Matt Corral in the NFL, in your opinion?
I think for me, and this is the one I think I feel the best about, is the Pittsburgh Steelers. You look at Matt Canada, you know, his strengths are RPOs. The thing that they couldn't do with Big Ben because of just the way that he operates as a signal caller. And it's just, that's all Matt Corral did at Ole Miss. It's RPOs. Like, that's all he did. And that's when he was most successful. And you look at the way that they brought in Trubisky as well. Like, that's another thing that Trubisky's good at too. Like, doing the play action, doing the bootlegs, the pre-snap motions, like all that stuff that they could never do with Ben Roethlisberger, they can now do with Trubisky and with Matt Corral. So they don't need to change the offense at all. They can start Trubisky while, you know, Corral, you know, learns underneath him. Trubisky implodes. They put Matt Corral in. Like, I can already see the story. And the fact that they have weapons there too. Like, you have Deontay, you have Chase Claypool, you have Freiermuth, you have Najee. Like, you can get excited about Matt Corral in that aspect for fantasy, just kind of like we are excited a little bit for Trubisky, because we've seen him when he has weapons around him in an offense that's catering to his strengths, he can be successful. So I think that Pittsburgh is a really good spot. And I think that where they're ending up picking, you know, where they're at 20, I think Corral should be on the board for them there.
All right. What about Sam Howell out of North Carolina, Cody? When you're watching him, I know the comps have been all over the place on him as well. I'm curious to hear your take, though.
I want to love Sam Howell. I want to love him, but I only like him. I like him a little bit. And when I say these comps, it's going to make a lot of sense to where I think he might land. I think he's a great thrower downfield. I think he's better than Baker Mayfield downfield. His rushing aspect is very sneaky. Again, we didn't see it till this year. The net yardage, if you take away the sacks in college, is over 1,000 rushing yards. He kind of like, it's like Matt Corral from the rushing standpoint, except he's bigger and he kind of created his own spin move where he just kind of like hammers into guys, spins off and boom, he's still going. And he doesn't really take those hits as aggressively as Matt Corral does. I think his downfield is fantastic. I think in the short quadrants, he's great. But in those middle quadrants, I think he struggles quite a bit on the run in quick releases where people are at his feet or around him and he doesn't feel comfortable. And that reminds me of Sam Darnold. So a mixture of Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield, why not put him in Carolina? But I want to know what you think, Andrew.
Oh,
No, I think that that's where he's going. He's going to the Panthers because the way that I see it is if I'm the Panthers, I would rather draft a tackle at six and then hopefully get Sam Howell in the second round as opposed to drafting Pickett first and then hoping that I can stumble into some tackle production. I just think that with Sam Howell, at least we saw him when he had NFL weapons around him with Javonte, Michael Carr, Dyami Brown, Daz Newsome. He was really effective. And like I mentioned before, the Panthers have a really good roster. Like he has DJ Moore. Like, God, I would love to see DJ Moore see vertical targets that are actually in his stratosphere. And I think Sam Howell can deliver that, especially now that he'll have a nice, you know, franchise left tackle, you know, protecting his blind side. So I'm going to go with the Carolina Panthers for Sam Howell.
All right, last quarterback we're going to talk about is Cincinnati's Desmond Ridder. Very controversial. Some people love him, some people don't. Cody, where do you stand on Desmond Ridder?
I think Desmond Ridder is going to be the sneakiest in this class. I think he's going to go a lot higher than people expect. 97th percentile 40-yard dash from the quarterback position, 4.52, 10,000 passing yards at Cincinnati, and he's just a straight-up winner. I know he trains out there with Jordan Palmer. Jordan Palmer trains with Carson Strong, also Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow of the last few seasons. So I'm very excited about what Desmond Ridder brings to the table. He looks like he's about 65 on his headshot from playerprofile.com. He comes in still on the light end, about 207, 210 pounds. I think Desmond Ridder, I think you're looking in a spitting image of Alex Smith. And I think that's kind of a good spot for him in the NFL. I don't think he's going to be fantastic, but I think he has the opportunity to have a couple seasons here or there. And from like kind of a play style, I lent more toward Jimmy Garoppolo, but I think Alex Smith is probably a better career arc.
I agree too on the Alex Smith in terms of the intellect. He seems like he's a very bright kid, very good communicator, seems like a leader and that kind of guy. Alex Smith, you know, that those intangible qualities that kept him in the league for many, many years, maybe past his talents, so to speak, but he was still able to execute. And I love that comp, and I'm with you. I think Ridder is better than people give him credit for. Andrew Erickson, where do you want to put Desmond Ridder?
Well, I thought about the Saints, but now that they've signed the Red Rifle, it's just, you know, it's too much for him to overcome. So I'll go with the Falcons. I think are a team that, again, maybe can take some shots at quarterback potentially. I mean, if I were them, I would just burn to the ground and just draft one of the quarterbacks in next year's class. But we've seen this before where teams will still take a quarterback when they're in this weird purgatory. They'll draft one, whether it's in the second round. And, you know, they brought in Marcus Mariota basically on a one-year deal. You know, maybe they draft Ridder, find something in him. Obviously, he can add value with his legs, and that's not a great offensive line. So we're knowing that he can add some value with fantasy with his legs. And again, you're looking at this point in the draft again, you know, if he's the fifth quarterback drafted, you know, you're looking for, is this guy going to get a chance to start? Like Marcus Mariota, last time we saw him, he got benched. So like, it's not like the leash for him is very strong where if Desmond Ridder could just beat him out in camp, okay, boom, like now you have a starter, you know, in a two quarterback league where you drafted Desmond Ridder as the fifth quarterback and now you can start him in your super flex league. So I think that the Falcons, again, just a weak depth chart at quarterback. Mariota's the, you know, quote unquote starter, but we don't know that the last time he played on Arthur Smith, he got benched by, you know, Arthur Smith. So I think Ridder makes some sense in Atlanta.
All right, last one here. Let's do a little tight end action here. Let's talk about Trey McBride. McBride, probably the number one consensus tight end here on the board from Colorado State. I know it's not the strongest quarterback class, perhaps not the strongest tight end class either, especially compared to last year's group with Kyle Pitts. But if you had to give a comp for Trey McBride, excuse me, Cody, who would you put?
I think you're 100% on. When I saw this sheet come across and there was one tight end, I was like, excellent. So all we really need to talk about is just one tight end.
Sorry, man. Whoever I'm just not wasting people's time, man. That's how I feel.
Exactly. That's all you need. You only need this one guy. There's a couple sleepers later on, athletes, but if you can go get your own athletes. But like Evan Silva would say, he's the mother effing Mackey Award winner. It's just what he does. 99th percentile college dominator at Colorado State. And people want to say, oh, but Colorado State. And it's like, yeah, but Ola BC Johnson, Michael Gallup, Preston Williams, like they've put these receivers in the NFL year after year. Why can't they put a tight end out here? And they will. Trey McBride, closest comparable, Dallas Goedert, Heath Miller. I think he's a spitting image of Dallas Goedert, a little more athletic, a little tight in the hips, but I really like how he plays and how he resembles a Goddard and Hockenson after the catch type of play style. So Trey McBride, tight end one, I don't think it's a question.
All right. So where's this tight end one going to end up from a fantasy perspective you want to see, Andrew Erickson?
Yeah. I mean, I went through, I think every single roster in the NFL and I only found like one tight end room where I felt confident that McBride could come in and like be the legitimate starter. And for me, it was New York Giants. So you know, they signed Ricky Seals-Jones for like no money. And I know that people will bark back at me like, oh, well, they signed RSJ. It's like, guys, like RSJ has been like a journeyman wide receiver, tight end hybrid, and only got any playing time last year because Logan Thomas got hurt and he played in a tight end role where he never came off the field. And that's the only reason he did really much of anything last year. So I'm not, you know, going to stop myself from drafting Trey McBride because RSJ is on the Giants. So I think that's the spot. You know, Brian Daboll, obviously we saw him take, you know, Dawson Knox, use him in a really great role for fantasy football, like always on the field and every down tight end. And that's what we need for Trey McBride. Like, we need him on the field every single play for him to be someone that we can use in fantasy. And really, when I just kind of looked up and down the rosters, like, the Giants were that one team where I was like, okay, I think that there could be something here. So praying that he ends up in Big Blue and that we can get another rookie tight end that can be productive. And we got two last year, so hopefully we get another one with McBride.
Cody Carpentier, you are in a tier unto yourself, my friend. Follow him on the Twitter machine at CarpentierNFL. Cody, it was fantastic to hear your comps. It was also even better to hear you reaffirm my love of Desmond Ridder and George Pickens here on this show live for everybody. Tell us what you got going on at playerprofiler.com right now, because this has got to be, like you said, the busiest time of year, so you must have a whole lot.
The Future Cast is a podcast on YouTube and on the Roto Underworld podcast channel. You can find that on Wednesdays and Saturdays, each of the next couple weeks, going to the NFL draft. NFL Mock Draft 5.0 dropped on Sunday. You can find that on playerprofiler.com or on Google. And then my top 300 big board NFL prospects dropped late last week. You can find that on playerprofiler.com. But that's really all I got. I really appreciate you guys having me on. This was never done an episode like this where we just talk comps and landing spots. This is my type of thing right here. So I appreciate you guys both.
Well, you crush it, brother. I mean, this is your wheelhouse and you absolutely showed it. Why do you not have like 60,000 Twitter followers? I don't understand. Everyone go follow him at Carpentier NFL. I don't understand this at all. This is fantastic. I've enjoyed your guest spot here on the show today, and I can't wait to have you on again to talk about all these guys after they've landed in their respective places. So again, special shout out to Cody too, who readjusted his schedule yesterday to come on the show today after some technical issues that I had. So what a guy, I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, technical issues, Josh.
Yes, sure, technical issues. That's right. Where I, you know, when I get mad and I start throwing the laptops across the room and things don't work. So, I mean, you know, that's kind of in my player profile. Hey, has happen. Anger things management happen. Issues during technical problems, but that's only because I want to be here talking football. That's why. And if you want to be here talking football with us and listening to it, at least make sure you check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. Subscribe, click that little bell for the notifications, and make sure you realize that all of the podcasts are here as well. All the short form, long form videos. We've got our NFL draft coverage coming up in a few weeks' time as well. We're going to be live for the NFL draft again, like last year. And when you're a subscriber of the YouTube channel, go to fantasypros.com/contest and get in that Cam Akers autographed helmet situation. It could be yours. All you got to do is subscribe to the YouTube channel and then go to fantasypros.com/contest to enter. And that, of course, is thanks to our good pals at pristineauction.com. I'd like to thank the sponsors of today's shows, including Siempre Tequila. Head over to siempretequila.com. Again, that's siempretequila.com, and use that promo code FANTASYPROS to get 20% off of your orders of $100 or more. And Siempre Tequila is good. Trust me, I have tried it. I've got two bottles of it in the cabinet right now, ready for summer, and you should too. Also, don't forget about Air Medcare Network. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use that offer code FANTASYPROS no matter where you are in the game of life. And Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Cody Carpentier and Andrew Erickson, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.